Welcome back to the Challenge USA wrap-up podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. Good to meet, as always, my co-host, Alicia Ali Harriet.
O-L-L-E-H, Brian. How are you doing?
You know what's so sad? I spelt goggles wrong when I was playing along. I doubled the O instead of doubling the G. I was like, oh, she got it wrong. I'm like, no, I'm just an idiot.
Googles.
Yep.
She can say that with confidence. Shout out to Shannon. She got goggles in an instant.
Yeah. Shannon killed it.
I think we that part. End the podcast right there because, I mean, spoiler alert, at the top of the hour, we've been very high on these episodes. Not much to cover this week. Not even necessarily, like, bad. I just, was this episode the same runtime as every other episode?
It's funny, as we were going through, I'm like, oh wow, the dailies, like, they're really cooking through it. I feel like we're gonna get like a fun club scene. Is someone gonna like get kicked out, starting a fight, and then we get to elimination, like, oh wow, is this gonna be like a two-part elimination? This is gonna be crazy. And then episode's kind of just ended and that was it.
Were there more commercials? Like, I genuinely, I need like the equivalent of like the Bachelor Data Instagram to like run. Like, did we see less show this week? I just, what occurred this week?
Challenge stats. We need challenge stats on the horn.
Well, you've become challenge stats. Maybe this is the perfect place to start with the algorithm. You know, I leave you, we've been recording now on Wednesday nights right after the episode for various scheduling reasons. And like, I feel like I close my eyes for 1 minute, I turn my back for 1 minute, and you're crunching the numbers.
Someone said a very fun line. They tweeted me like, I never had an email job, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at here. And I kind of like that that reference. But yeah, I dug the numbers. I broke down the algorithm, which I guess it didn't mean anything because the algorithm was broken this week. They had to like tweak it just to force a pairing. But I did line up the pairings because I was getting a little fed up with all like the conspiracies about, oh, Sarah and Tyson are definitely going to be together. It's all fixed. Well, in your face, it's not fixed. So where are your conspiracies now?
Is that big on Challenge USA Twitter that it's conspiracy, or you mean like the discussions you and I have had?
Okay. No, on the Twitter threads, everyone's, oh, it's fixed, it's fake, it's all for show, it's not real. Look, if it was real, you'd think they wouldn't be able to figure out a way to not accidentally have to pair Dom and Angela, because I think what they're doing is they're just going one by one, they're pairing people together, and then they got down to it, they're like, oh crap, we have to pair someone else together again. Because, I mean, I'm sure they could have found a way to keep them separate.
Well, so that's my question for Brian Stats is like, so I think they said this at the top of the show that like no one will repeat until they have to repeat. But so they're solving for like, I think what we saw this week is like the first ball up, like the lotto, like the, you know, Tyson's up first. So he will be paired with like one of his four available matches, whatever. Yep. And then they get down to Dom and he has no available new matches. So he will be randomly assigned to one of his existing matches. Whereas I think when we started the show, I thought it was going to like be a predetermined like output of like who has to make sense. Instead, it's one at a time.
Right. I thought they were doing like sports scheduling format wise, where they're like making sure everyone's played enough people to pair them together. You have to play this person a certain amount of times and they're creating the schedule. I think they're doing it Are You the One style, where they pick, okay, this time the guys go first. First up is Ben. Who is he going to be with? Boom, this person. And then when Dom, they must have just, I don't know who he's already been with, but yeah, I guess he just randomly landed on Angela.
So it was 50-50 shot.
Right. So I think they're just doing it person by person. And then once it gets down to it, it's like, okay, well, this person's going to be doubled up. And then I guess now Angela is like fully out on Dom going forward.
It's interesting because, you know, these pairs, while probably the least interesting pairings that we could have had, and we talked about that last week, it's almost the most interesting because just like, look at how much has changed in the X episodes. I mean, you said before, is it the sixth episode? And I said, I don't know. And now I'm eating myself because I'm just like, eating myself? That's not right. Now I'm like, kicking myself because it's like, well, let's say six episodes, look at how much has changed. Kira, who has wanted to get Tyson the whole time, it is now probably the worst time for her to be paired with Tyson. And Leo and Kayla, who at one point would have been the biggest targets, number one targets, are not even really discussed, but not really in a serious way.
Yeah, they're discussed but not thrown in. I think this is week one or two. They're like, I mean, I think we saw it happen with Kayla and James. Like, they were an easy target to throw in. So, yeah, I think for Kayla, again, she's doing a great job. Shout out to Kayla. She's been one of the stars of the season, maneuvering her way in very unfavorable circumstances. So I don't want to hear about, oh, it's, you know, it's back against the wall. This person has no chance. It's so unfair. They're counted out. Kayla's proving that no matter how outnumbered your show might be, don't give up. Persevere. You can do it.
I love how much you're talking. You're breaking the fourth wall. Like, who are you talking? I'm like, did I say that? Like, who are you talking to?
You know, I'm in a bad mood. The Yankees are ruining my summer. I'm just getting angry at Twitter. I've become one of those, like, Twitter people that's just responding to people on Twitter about Yankee stuff. And now I'm responding to challenge people because, you know what? I don't want to hear it. It's all the fake algorithms, all the fake this, all the fake that. You know what? Kayla's proving you can do it.
Look, and I can't even enjoy the Mets winning, so it's like both of us are depressed as hell. But, all right, enough about baseball. One thing that's interesting, or not interesting, kind of another disappointment, is, like, I feel like last week we were on a high. We were like, this is a perfect setup into what's going to be, like, the biggest episode of the season. And yet this episode, again, was sort of another setup episode. Like, we still have Sarah's cannons pointed at Tyson insanely. Not that she's insane for hating him, just the way that she goes about it is insane. And Tyson is like, look, shoot your shot, whatever. Like, I'm kind of, I don't care. And that's, like, really all we see. To just, like, get to the end of it, to not bury the lead, I really thought we were going to see Tyson going in. And maybe that's just a testament to the control he has over every other person in the house, but not really a lot of payoff from last week.
Yeah, not a lot. I think we got a little bit unlucky with, I feel like we've had a lot of good luck through this season, through the first 5 weeks, with certain people winning, certain people losing. Here, we got a little unlucky with two groups of pairs that are not power players in this house right now. Like they're not moving the needle to try to get them out or to try to make a big move. If Tyson had lost, I think their whole dynamic of who's going in against him changes. When you see Enzo lose, it's not really changing things. I think Desi's already in a good spot, so she's not looking to make a big move, or David might be, but David's not like that power player to really push it. So things just kind of fell a little flat for this week, but it's like nothing shifted from last week. I think it's just like skipping a week, and now next week we might see some stuff.
Well, the one carryover from last week is this conversation with Cash and Sarah. And, you know, earmark this for your conversation eventually with Sarah and or Cash. But, like, Cash really throws Tyson under the bus here to Sarah. And my understanding from last week was the only reason that Sarah went in is because Cash was protecting Justine as Ben's partner. So, like, was this gameplay on Cash's part? Does Cash believe that she was sort of duped by Tyson? Like, I kind of don't know which story this week's or last week's to believe.
I think Cash is trying to save face. I think we saw her kind of panicking during the elimination of, like, oh my God, Sarah's going to come for me. Everyone's going to come for me. I'm screwed. My game's destroyed. She was like having a panic attack while the elimination was going on. So I think this was like her trying just to salvage herself and try to get out of, from under it. And I think it is pretty easy to do it for her because obviously Sarah would be much more fixated on Tyson and would just look for any additional excuse to do so. So good for her to like kind of just slide out of the picture and let Sarah just keep both eyes focused on Tyson rather than like 90% of her eyes focused on Tyson.
I agree. Kudos to Cash. I mean, look, Cash doesn't owe Sarah anything, and I think Sarah can appreciate that. I think Sarah also is probably inclined to underestimate Cash and blame Tyson, but totally. Cash is doing everything to help herself in this scenario. So, you know, David? Someone says that Cash is not a good challenger this episode, but like, kudos to Cash. She's like doing what she should be doing in the aftermath of this.
Yeah, she handled it socially as good as she can. She got out of she took her big shot, which would have been great for her game to knock out a supposedly strong player in Sarah, and is not really going to now be facing any of the blowback. It's all going to be on her partner or her former partner.
Right. And then we get to the challenge, and like this is where I thought Tyson's days were numbered because Kira's ill, and I think, you know, to your point earlier, like, all right, Enzo's in the bottom. He's not such a power player. Enzo and Justine, even though Justine has been looked at favorably in the challenges, it's like she's not the biggest, you know, most threatening woman. And Enzo, people leaves a lot to be desired probably by their standards. So, like, it's not like Cinco's there to take Tyson out. But having a sick partner, like how sick Kira is, I thought was going to be Tyson's death knell.
Yeah, it was really setting up that way. At the very least, like being into elimination, it was really setting up that this is all crumbling down for Tyson here. And it would have been really bad. Like, you know, I obviously would have felt better for Kira, but for like Tyson also to go out on just someone being sick is just such a bad turn of events. Would feel so wasted for the viewer for how much stock we've put in Tyson for those first 6 weeks, that if he would just go out because Kira's also sick and it would suck for her too, like that would be such a buzzkill on the season, that like it's such a relief that if Tyson does lose, it gets chopped off, like let it be a big moment, not just because his partner's sick.
And it's interesting because the elimination, Shummy Head, is like, you know, not something Tyson could have won on his own. Like,
no.
I mean, he would have had to go at double the pace of his opponents, but he could only take one tire at a time. So, like, it would have been very difficult for him to make up time from a sick partner.
Yeah, I would say this is one of the ones that wouldn't even really be up Tyson's wheelhouse. Like, obviously, the endurance-wise it was, but some of the other ones that were seeing, like, him swimming or something like that, where he has a clear advantage. But I think, like, this one, he wouldn't have been at that much of an advantage compared to anyone else. So this would have been a prime spot to take him out, for sure.
What did you make of this daily?
So, containment. This was the first one where I felt the way you kind of felt of this was definitely a step down from the challenge, which is weird because this is where someone quit and other people like couldn't do it, but this felt like it needed more. Like, it needed to go back and forth multiple times or like swim between multiple containment. Like, this felt like 60% of what we would normally get on the challenge properly. It just felt weaker compared to what we should be getting.
Yeah, and you know I don't care about math. I don't care when we get math in the challenge proper. Like, when there's an equation involved, I kind of just check out.
Yeah, I did like that they had a pen and paper or marker and, you know, whatever wall that they could actually do the math on. That was actually surprising that they didn't have to do it in their heads the way they typically. I guess it's a little more complicated, like bigger numbers, but we typically don't even get to see them having any form of, you know, pen, paper situation.
And not to crap on Enzo here, but like, I'm afraid of heights. I often think about how I would act in one of these. Like, honestly, like, I don't even think I could, like, climb up the amount required to get up to this. So, like, far be it from me to say I'd swing on that rope. But, like, of the kinds of challenges we see, I think what you were saying before is accurate. Like, for this to be the one that someone bails at, like, this has to be less scary than, like, even the rappelling of the first episode. I mean, it's hard to explain what will cause someone to be afraid and what won't. But I was surprised and disappointed to see Enzo just, like, bail on this.
It, especially, I mean, maybe they, like, shot it or showed it out of order, but to already see Tyson and Kira fail, so you know, like, all you have to do is just, like, try.
Right.
And Tyson's set up to go in and potentially go home and you knock out one of the biggest players in the game against you. Like, that's pretty brutal for Enzo to not even, like, give it a chance. Like, if he just happens to, like, Tyson has a better time or whatever, but the fact that they were just sitting there on a silver platter to be chopped off and head straight into elimination with no one having to, like, get their hands dirty, that's, like, the golden opportunity. And he just, like, didn't even try. Like, so that's pretty lame.
If anything, it should motivate you to want to win even more because you're looking at, like, oh, shit, I really could be, like, if Tyson goes in, I could be put in and I could lose. It's, like, even scarier.
Right. And then even more so, then you, like, control the narrative of, like, all right, you know, Tyson's going in. Now we can also toss in, like, Angela and Dom, or toss another too strong team and get, you know, someone else out to the equivalent. So, like, there was, like, it really was such an opportunity if Enzo could have even just attempted it. But, I mean, look, I can't. It's hard to say, you know, getting inside of his head, but pretty lame stuff.
And then the winners of this challenge, I mean, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I have to say your most underestimated pairing of the season, David and Desi.
No, I mean, look, David, unbelievable. You know, he's won an elimination. He's now won a daily, which a lot of people in the challenge world cannot say. So good for him. It just so happens he wins the daily, and it's like the boring, most boring episode of the season. I'm not saying those are equivalents. I am just stating the facts. But good for him that he won a daily. I mean, look, he did well.
You know, it's funny, it's like equal parts adorable and a read when Desi's like, I'm excited to be David's partner because he's just so excited to be my partner. Like, that is goals. Love that. And like, I've been behind Desi. And I'm not saying you haven't been, but I've been like in on Desi, thinking she is like I think she was my second pick overall in a Nupal draft. You can just leave it. Thank you. Sorry, it's my dinner. It's like, I've been in on Desi the whole time and, you know, she's been good, but we haven't seen like that much. Yeah. And for her to have like, not the strongest male partner, but like what a solid team that, like, David's got a right mindset. Desi's amped because David's amped, and they crush it. Love it.
They did. They did great. They did great. I love TJ's enthusiasm for them. Desi's cool was great. I tweeted that, I feel like that's how you feel about me, that you're just so excited that I'm excited to be fair with you. So I feel like that was a very kinship to our relationship.
Me?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't feel you're excited to be paired with me. What does that even mean? Did you tag me in this?
No, it was an untag.
You subtweeted me?
I knew you weren't watching live, so I didn't want to spoil you, because I remember I did that one time and it didn't go well, so I wanted to not spoil anything.
Oh my god, I just noticed you updated your Twitter bio to TJ Lavin thanked me. Get over it.
but no, Desi, when I was doing the my algorithm,
this is such a stupid tweet. Sorry, go ahead.
When I was doing my algorithm last week, I noticed Desi was in a really, really good shape. And especially now, this week, she had knocked out David as a partner and won. But she still has Ben, Tyson, and Kylan. Like, that's her three people left. So Desi is set up super well to go on a run here.
But now your algorithm is bunk, because it's like, if those three people get picked with women before, then she's back into the... And that's what's, I think, almost a misstep. Like, I think the algorithm should be done, like, an entire set at a time and just revealed one at a time. Because I think you're right. Like, we should be able to think like that and worry about who's partnered with who and whatever. Who's partnered with whom. But now it's like, Desi could have anyone if those three guys go in the beginning.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, the Desi stock that I was buying super, I feel like I was going to get a good price last week. Now it's like a little iffy.
No, you were pricing her so low. It was like shocking.
Well, I wasn't that low on Desi. I just was just surprised. I didn't know that much about her.
Run the tape back. Run the tape. Actually, I think that happened off air, if we're being honest, but run the tape back.
Ooh, Chalet.
All right. I mean, Bryce knows about Desi. Check Bryce and Wendell out talking about the challenge if you want people mm-hmm. who really appreciate talent and not half of us. Anyway,
right.
On the chopping block, names coming up. First of all, I love Enzo's attitude of like, I'm going to take on whoever. Like, I just want 5 G's. Kayla and Leo come up. I don't know how serious that is. Tyson and Kira come up. Kylan and Cash come up. And then Derek and Shannon really only come up as like themselves being like, I feel like we're safe. I feel like people don't know mm-hmm. I'm injured.
Yeah. Unclear. So Shannon's injured. I'm kind of surprised. I know like the challenges haven't been that grueling, but no injuries really to account for, which is kind of surprising for people who aren't really known for like their athleticism doing this for the first time. So it's kind of surprising that it took us this long to have someone so impacted by an injury really taking shape.
Well, we've also been very like on the challenge proper, people have been eliminated left, right, and center. Yep. So I feel like we also like, this is how it should be. Like, people should not be getting medevaced like every single second, but it's rare for this is unique for a challenge season.
Yeah. So David was the one who was more leaning towards taking the big shot at Tyson or Kylan, their teams. And Desi was more wanting to try to, you know, make a move, get someone eliminated, but not really draw too much attention to herself.
And look, it makes sense because I think we did a really helpful exercise, at least for me last week. It was helpful to me mm-hmm. of mapping out the control that Tyson still has in the house. I think watching the episode and not really thinking any deeper about it is like, oh, Tyson made a huge mistake. He took a shot. He missed. Those people are pissed. However, Tyson has absolute control over 90% of the house. And as long as Ben and Sarah, who are paired up, which is honestly Tyson's best case scenario, is yeah, like absolutely. There's only one shot they have to be in power. They don't win. Tyson's pretty safe. And like, I get why David had his eye on Tyson's prize. But from Desi's perspective, she's still with Tyson. Best not to rock the boat. I was frustrated, and I agree with you. I didn't want Tyson to go out, but I wanted some resolution. I wanted some blowback. I want Sarah and Ben to be pissed at Desi. Like, I want mm-hmm. something to happen. And to me, throwing Derek X and Shannon in is sort of like a big,
Yeah, it was very much kicking the can down the road for someone else to handle it. Which, look, for Desi, makes sense. Like, there's no reason for her to take the shot. It's not her war to fight. She's not so strongly attached to Tyson or so strongly attached to Sarah Benn that, like, she should take the shot for either of them. So, for her, who, obviously, she's already qualified to make the final. She's in good shape physically. She could probably do pretty well in a final if she makes it there. Why should she risk her game for people that she's not even, like, that tightly aligned with? So for her, it makes complete sense to, like, just vote in, like, a bland couple that's, you know, you're not too worried about. If they come back and win, it's like, okay, you know, we'll worry about that later. But for her, like, what is there to gain from making, like, a big move in this situation?
No, and it makes complete sense for Desi. What doesn't really make sense, and this gets raised on the episode, but for David, Derek X is one of the most, like, loyal Big Brother soldiers. I mean, maybe David doesn't appreciate how strong of a couple Alyssa and Derek X are. And so in that sense, it's, like, inadvertently a great move. But, like, what is David doing? Like, how does he not fight for Derek X? And how does he not get Kayla and Leo unless this is a... You know, he says, I'm really tight with Enzo and I want to give him someone Enzo can beat. Is it just a sacrifice to the Enzo gods?
Yeah, unless, I mean, it goes back to Kayla. Like, obviously, Kayla was doing some work with the Survivor crew. So maybe she also got in with Desi and was, like, you know, pseudo in the Survivor world that Desi didn't want to take the shot at her and directly within the Survivor community. Although it was surprising that, although I think it was Leo who said it, that Leo, he felt that Leo and Kayla were with Sarah and Ben, like, that wanted to go out to Tyson. We didn't hear that from Kayla. I tend not to believe it. I feel like...
Well, but Leo got sent in with Sarah.
Right. But we were speculating, all right, so do Leo and Kayla then sync up to both go at Tyson? Leo's indicating yes. I don't know if
right,
Kayla
yes, I
would
agree.
Be
right.
against Tyson. I think push comes to shove, she would probably go where the numbers are, which, as we've said, are more with Tyson, but... Oh, yeah, that remains.
No, Leo has no idea what's going on in the house. Leo only knows what he knows, which is, like, I got sent in, so my closest ally is going to be pissed at Tyson. Like, yeah, totally agree. Absolutely not. I just think, like, I'd like to have seen more of the conversation between David and Desi, because it's like, all right, David wants to put Tyson in. Desi talks him out of it and talks him into Derek X. Like, you know, it should really be like, all right, if you don't want to send in Tyson, then I'm not sending in Derek X, and now we're going to go to the neutral territory. I think it must be credit to Desi. It must be credit to Kayla. And maybe it's credit to David of, like, I'm more threatened by Derek X, and I want to protect Enzo, and so I don't care about this Big Brother thing. So I just would love more information on the thought process there.
Yeah, so if it wasn't going to be them, and, like, let's say Desi doesn't want to take the big shot and go at Tyson and Kayla, like, who else besides Leo and Kayla, like, if Desi doesn't want to take a shot at Survivor team that knocks out, like, you're not going to do Danny, you're not going to do Dom and Angela, Kylie, Tyler and Cash, but I don't think Desi, like, I don't feel like that wasn't, I mean, that could have been an option, but I don't think, again, Kylan's kind of taking a big shot. So they're really, like, we're getting at two. There's not that many options even to choose from, which probably was Desi's, like, pitch. Like, I don't know, I, like, can't do that. And then just narrowed it down to Derek.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if Leo and Kayla seem like a stronger team than Derek and Shannon, especially with Shannon injured, and that this was more of a protective measure for David, like a sacrifice of Derek for Enzo. Because as far as I know, David and Derek didn't have any pre-existing relationship, and Enzo and David did. So, you know, again, I like the show. I think it's they're doing a great job with the editing. I am getting sick of the thing they talk about the least is what always ends up happening. And it's like, all right, we get it. Start talking about it and explaining why the decision is being made.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get a flashback for this one. Not that it was, like, a monumental move to, like, really flush it out, but I would have liked to seen the flashback of them just being like, all right, we're not going to take the big shot this week. Let's just do this. I would have liked to still seen that two-sentence conversation that they could have had and then cut to the elimination.
And then even with the eliminated pairs where it's like, or the people up for elimination in the arena, it's Derek and Shannon and Justine and Enzo. And I'm sitting here like, all right, who's going to go home? I feel like we didn't see enough from any of them besides Enzo to justify them going home. Like, Justine especially, who has been sort of a breakout challenger. I was like, if she goes home this week, like, we haven't heard anything from her. It's kind of effed up. And then even Derek and Shannon, I think, really didn't get their due. And maybe that's just a product of them think, like, the producers or editors being like, oh, they didn't give that much, so there's not much to send them home with. But I was sort of unsatisfied by this whole result.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer because we got a good amount from Shannon, definitely in the premiere, and I feel like in the second episode, like she really came out hot in the beginning, and maybe it's just like the vibes of the house weren't fitting, like they weren't going out partying, they weren't drinking, there wasn't a lot of much fun happening, so maybe like her energy was just like drifting away as the season was going on, so maybe there wasn't as much to show with her, which is a bummer because I feel like she added a lot early on, and I would have liked to seen her much more through the season, but yeah, in the last few weeks, she really wasn't much part of anything.
And she was fun. I thought her confessionals this week were fun. To your point, Kyle Picard said, is there anyone left that you still don't think is getting enough airtime? I mean, I just generally think that the editing device they're using of like, we work out like X, Y, and Z scenario, and then scenario Q is what ends up happening, is like getting a bit old at this level of the game. Like, I still don't think a lot of the relationships I understand, but I'm still enjoying it. Like, just nitpicking.
Yeah, I would like to see more from Kiki's husband. I think that would be nice. Do you think, because we're getting to the point in the season where we could start to speculate, all right, are they going to change the format? Like, we're probably, I mean, it's probably like 11, 12 episode season. We're getting closer to the final. Are we riding this algorithm to the end, you think?
I still think there's got to be, like we've talked about, some purge, mass money, fast money, like showdown, like, because they can't just leave it to like, oh, Tyson has all the money, and who, like, who's even qualified right now to run the final? Like, I just don't think it even works. Like, I don't think they can ride it to the end.
Right. Well, so we're down to 18. So, like, we're not, like, that far away from where we could be for a final. Like, you easily go to the final with, you know, eight people, four pairs against each other. So, yeah, I mean, so, like, who's qualified? Tyson's qualified. Kyle, I'm just looking at Tyson, is qualified. David and Desi are both now qualified. I think Desi was already qualified. Leo and Kayla, I don't think either. Or is Kayla, I don't think Kayla's. Oh yeah, she won with Tyson, so I think she's qualified. Here we can go.
Who's not, like? This is interesting because it's like they highlight on Wikipedia. They highlight when they became qualified, but like,
oh, amazing.
They still have everybody else, like the total. So it's Tyson. Tyson's qualified for the men. Tyson, Kylan, David, and that's it.
So you got three out of the eight men qualified.
Is it 5 G's or 6 G's? It's 6 G's.
Well, I think it's 5, but you start with 1 and winning a daily gets you 5.
Got it. Okay. So then it's the women who are qualified are Justine, Desi, Cash, Angela, and Alyssa. So it's three men and 5 women.
Interesting. So the only women not qualified. So Sarah's not qualified.
Kayla's not qualified.
Kayla.
Kira.
And Kira. Interesting.
So to what we've discussed all season is like, they just can't. They're not going to get to 5 and 5. They're not going to get to, or even like, they might have more women qualified to run the final than they want in the final.
Yeah, I could see it being uneven. That I could definitely see that. I just don't. I'm still surprised. I'm going back to like, it never makes sense why winning elimination doesn't get you anything. Besides like you stealing the other person's money, I'm surprised it doesn't get you, like, you win elimination, you get like 2,000 plus the money, like, or even 3,000 plus the money. So that way it guarantees you to qualify. It feels weird that the only way to like guarantee yourself to qualify is to win a daily as opposed to win an elimination. Like, that always never really made sense.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a way to control the amount of, I mean, I don't know how this is going to work out. I just think it's going to be something like, there's going to be some purge fiesta, like something where like everybody, all the extra money is up for grabs, or the people with the money still have to get through. I think it's going to be even teams. I don't think they're running this 6 women, 3 men. I just think everything's been so paired. I don't see them going to the final with uneven teams. And I don't think, I just don't think this is going to be just a straight algorithm decision until the final.
Right. And usually they do like bringing the, they didn't really do it with All Stars 3, but they usually do like bringing the theme into the final. So I definitely could see like an algorithm, like your pair with each person during the final.
Per out, yeah.
So I could see that for sure.
But like, did we know that this is only 10 episodes? Wikipedia is, I mean, things have been changed, but Wikipedia is only showing 4 more episodes.
I'm just kidding. I feel like it's probably similar to like the All-Stars vibes. I think that's been like 10, 11 episodes. So, I mean, look, we're six. So we have 8 teams left. So let's say, if you eliminate one team per week, that gets you to 4 pairs left through 10 episodes. So 11, maybe you have an extra one. No, but
the final has to exist.
So probably 11, 12 episodes. Sounds about right.
Well, so I'm just saying Wikipedia is showing 10 episodes.
Well, that was what kept tripping me up also with All-Stars. Right. When I was going off IMDb and Wikipedia, and then episodes just kept being added one at a time.
All right. So who knows what that's going to end up being. This elimination, I mean, cute that it gets a little like, there's a spelling test. Sort of stupid, like very strange.
Yeah, I had no idea where it was going when it cut to commercial. I was like, is this like the Cara Maria thing all over again where it's like a fake elimination? But I'm like, are they deeming Shannon like ineligible? They're just not like telling us and like there's no elimination. I was like very confused what was going on. I definitely was not expecting there to be a backward spelling bee coming out of commercial, but I didn't know where we were headed.
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult to spell things backwards. Okay. I did think it was interesting. The challenge was interesting that, again, it was a way to have brains beat brawn where you could, like, how you stacked it mattered. Kudos to Justine and Enzo for figuring that out and working smarter and not harder. I will say, minor point, I think they should not have been limited to how many tires they could have carried at once, particularly with the spelling Ebe challenge where, like, they should be able to sort of, like, run with 3 tires if they want and let them exhaust them more. Like, I think that's something that should have been allowed. But, like, sort of low impact, low excitement, elimination, tough but fair. And Derek and Shannon lose out on how they stacked the tires.
Yeah, I do think it probably seemed a little easier than it was. I feel like lifting those tires, like, up and over the pole, I feel like it does get pretty exhausting. And there was, like, a good amount. What was it, 50 of them, right?
Exhausted. It did not seem easy to me. It was just like, difficult.
Yeah, it seemed pretty tiring after a while. It was very close. I mean, TJ lost his voice. He was so into it. You don't see that too often. Very, very close battle.
But ultimately, it leaves me just as excited for next week's episode as I was last week, because I still think, like, the storm is brewing. This wasn't the impact we were expecting. And, you know, on to next week.
Yeah, this more felt like the eye of the storm, where you got a little calm, little break, feel like you're good. And then things break loose next week. Hopefully would be the case.
We'll see.
Anything else? Any
drinking game?
Got the drinking game. Short one for the drinking game. Just 3 of them.
Literally, what happened this episode? Like, what was happening this episode? Nothing. More commercial. Like, literally the runtime. Please, someone figure out, like, how much airtime actually happened of this episode.
This one really screamed, like, throw a party in the mix. Like, of all the episodes, like, even if a party happened, like, 2 weeks from now, and you could just, like, cut out the people who weren't going to be there. Just, like, toss it in the mix. Screamed like a breakup. Yeah, I'm okay.
Have the decency to lie to us. We're fine with it. We love it.
But the only drinks, the standard TJ voiceover for the Battle of the Champions, Kiki mentioned standard, and throwing someone in from your own show, the Big Brother on Big Brother crime. So we have 3.
It's funny, I'm adding a rule, and I'm jumping in because I don't want you to add it because you alluded to it earlier. But anytime TJ gets into it, like, even before he said he was losing his voice, I was like, wow, TJ's really, he's like, one more tire. Like, we really, for the challenge noobs, we don't see TJ, like, really having a rooting interest all that often. So I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm going to toss it just because, like, we need to, like, see someone having fun. Like, this, I feel like this, you don't have to track it too often, but, like, you see someone just having a good time. Like, I feel like this has been becoming too serious. There's been no parties. There's no fun. I don't need people hooking up, but I want to see a good vibe. So I want to see some laughing, some, like, joking around, playing, like, beer pong on the side. I don't know. Doing something that's just, like, fun.
Brian adding good vibes to the drinking game is life-changing, amazing goals. I love it. And I also feel like, I don't know if Kyle Picard, who tracks this for us, bless you, Kyle Picard, is, like, I don't know if he's rolling his eyes at it or if honestly we've had some pretty, like, we've been more contained in our rules than like sometimes mm-hmm. we are. And I say we, but I usually get off like off the beaten path with it. Like, so I don't know if he's like going to be like excited for this rule or if he's like, Jesus Christ, Brent, anyone tell me anyone's having fun? Okay.
This is very much a choose your own adventure type yeah. thing. Like, if you think someone's having fun, they're having fun. Like, let's embrace the fun.
It's very Challenger Hop Up. We love to see it. And thank you to, we got some 5-star reviews this week. Thank you to HO10203 and Rissa Rue. We appreciate it. Love to hear your guys' feedback. Love to know people are listening to it. Challenge USA, you know, it's a new audience. We love to hear the feedback. You know, Brian will tell you where to subscribe. But honestly, I'm not even making a joke. I don't remember which link is accurate. So Brian will tell you how to get there. But we love to hear from you guys.
It is robhasawebsite.com/challengefeed. I believe Challenge iTunes also works, but Challenge Feed is where you should be going.
Can't go wrong.
No, you can't. Anything I should ask Derek or Shannon? Anything top of mind for you? I obviously, mean, people might
we,
already.
We want to know about the breakup. Like, what about the breakup? Like, what's. I mean, you can't really ask about Shannon and Josh, I guess, but like, that's what the Love Islanders want to know. She showed up here. Ask her this. If you were single on the show, Shannon, would you have played the game any differently?
That's a good question. I will definitely ask that.
Boom. Boom.
First question.
She'll be like, I was single on the show. Like, maybe we have the facts wrong. Would love to know about that. I mean, I want to know when did you know? This is what I want to know. When did you know or did you know? Did you have a sense? Did someone tell you that you were going in? Because mm-hmm. from the edit, it seemed like they were looking in 3 other directions and you guys were made in the shade. Also, when did you get injured? We didn't understand that.
That's the first question I had in mind.
But like, also, do we even care about her injury? Like, the reality is I want to know about the breakup and I want to know, like, why them? What happened?
Why them? So what a very deep question. Everyone can ponder that one. Why them? You can follow me on Twitter. Colin Brian _ Colin with a C, Brian with an I. Good follow you.
At Lash Tweets. I'll be out next week. I don't know who's subbing. Yes. Do you need me to find a sub? I should help.
It's TBD. Maybe I'll put a Twitter poll, cause some chaos in the RCP world. Mm-hmm. Put everyone's name in the Twitter poll.
Don't love that.
No, but we'll see. I don't know. Could be anyone. Could be anyone come to join me for episode 7.
Also, should we just say, well, wait, let's just say, I don't know if, I feel like this is probably publicized. I haven't been listening to any podcasts recently, but the great rap Grams, Hannah Lidsky, is moving on.
Yes.
And we love her, especially on the challenge. She's gotten Kyle to respond to us. She made Sunny a household name, who I met Sunny, by the way. I didn't talk about that.
Yes.
And we love her. When we don't love anyone. So that's a big deal. And she will be missed. So just shout out to Deep Hannah. Life. Thank you for everything that you've done while you've been corralling us here.
Yes. No, she was great. She was great. Wish her all the best. Go, Hannah, go.
Speaking of which, actually, we have some. No, we're supposed to. Aren't you supposed to be plugging things on this and we never do it?
Oh, yeah, yes, here we go.
All right, here we go. Thank you to Hannah. We've never once read one of the plugs that you sent us, but I'm happy to do it now on your last week here. Better late than never. Amazing Race Canada is in its 8th season this year. And what better way to enjoy Canada's #1 summertime adventure than with weekly recaps from its 2 biggest non-Canadian fans? Join Jessica Lees and Dan Heaton each week as they break down all of the strategies, study the geography, speculate wildly on upcoming game twists, and much more. Subscribe at robinsonwebsite.com/tarfeed. We'll try to be better friends to our family. Oh, here.
Let's catch up. Let's keep it going. Love Island USA has moved to Peacock and is totally uncensored, and so is the pod. Scally and Kirsten are breaking down the drama, the twists, the relationships, and the breakups every Tuesday and Friday. Subscribe.
Not Kirsten, Robin, you idiot. This we gotta get out of here.
I said Kirsten. By the way, it's unbelievable that Love Island is on Peacock, but it's like part of the CBS. It's so perfect.
It's not Robin's part of CBS.
/hotdummies. Well, on this show it is. It's apparently part of the CBS.
But it was on CBS when these people were on the show.
It was, but not anymore.
All so right, still Hannah, what a tribute. Could you imagine anything better from us on your drunk aunt family here than this? That's all I have, Brennan. I won't interrupt your third attempt to end the podcast.
Until then, have a good one.